Okay, we're on page Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. We went to a Lamed the Shekler and left off. What was the discussion? You remember?
Price to pay, he paid the Sheba price.
Right. So when it came to Demai, so we said whether you came from a place where it sells for a lot and you go to a place where it sells for a little, or vice versa, you can always redeem it for the cheaper price. So the Gemara has Shiloh. Lama, why was that true? Is it because it was Nira Lehimachar Bazol, was previously fit to be sold for cheaper? So once it was previously fit, so therefore it's toll-faced the cheaper price. Or is it because he's Yachalach Zirolim Kamo? You could take the Rosh Hashanah back to the cheaper location. And since that's an option, we allow you to be Makel on that basis. And the Gemara made an afkamina as to whether it went up in value in the location where you came from. So if it went up in value there, then bringing it back was not an option. And therefore, it would be, according to that side, it would not be. We would be able to use a cheaper price. If it was because it was toll-faced a cheaper price at its time, then you would be able to use a cheaper price. That's what we ended off. And we didn't end off exactly there. Then we said that Rav Kiya Bar Ava was in Rome, and he redeemed these fancy dates on the basis of the price of Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael was a cheaper price than in Rome, because he had.
But you didn't know that at the time.
What's that?
He didn't know it at the time that he redeemed him.
He knew that Eretz Yisrael was cheaper price. That's where it grows. So, and then it has to be shipped to Rome. Obviously, it's going to be more expensive in Rome.
Shipped to Chicago Commodities Exchange.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was a riot that you could go Lakula. Basically, the idea was, right? It says, in the end, in the English, it says, now these people redeem Meiser Sheni of Demai according to the inexpensive rate of a previous location, despite the possibility that the price there had risen without their being aware of the increase. That's the point. They did not have internet or instantaneous quotes like you're suggesting, Jopsy. And therefore, it's clear that it was sufficient to have been there at that price at a time, and therefore they were able to use that price. That was where we left off. Okay?
What page are you on now?
We're on 34A1, second column, Tane.
Okay. So what you're saying is if they knew that the price was different, then they couldn't have.
It sounds like that. It does sound like that. But if you knew... No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says that they had a practice that was based on the fact that it was Toface's original price. That's what we're saying.
It was a lock.
It was locked in. It was like locking in your mortgage rate. Okay? And that's it. Okay, now I tried to understand this, Gemara. I'm having a little trouble with it, so you're going to have to help me out here. So all going to learn it together. The Gemara says, a brisa, mistaker adam ad shekel. A person could profit up to a shekel in the redemption of Meiser Sheni coins located in a more expensive area than the area in which the redemption is being performed.
A shekel out of what? I can be part
of the
10,000.
Shekel.
He's not with the shekel. He's somewhere else. He's been told there.
Hold on. You're asking a good question. The Gemara hasn't explained itself at all. There's going to be a whole explanation over here. So, let's see here. Mistakru Adam Ad Revius. Another view holds you can profit as much as a quarter of the difference between the local value and the price where they're being redeemed. I'm having trouble just understanding what we're saying here. 10, as the Gemara proceeds to explain, the Bryce is dealing with a situation where someone agrees to pay the owner of the Meiser Sheni coins. Okay, so I own the coins, and you will agree to pay me for my coins more than the amount that's required to deconsecrate them. In other words, if we convert them, for instance, usually that's what we're talking about, right? So I have a gold coin, let's say, and I want to convert it into prutos. So you've got the prutos. So you're willing to pay me more prutos than what would be necessary to convert this gold coin to become holin.
Where we are now, I'm giving you, and you would give me a certain amount. But based on where it's currently somewhere else,
the money
its value is instead of 100 prutos, I would get 101.
The money changer,
something like that.
100, I'm willing to give you more to get the gold. The gold
because it's in a place where it's worth more. I don't know what the money changer's getting out of this. He's getting, you know.
On account of their relatively high value in the area where they are physically located. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Let's see if we can follow this. Hey, Chavida, well, how's this done? So, dinar hocha betrain often. If you have a dinner here in Jerusalem, okay, it's 2,000 prutos. Uva Arbel, some other town, mentioned in Hosea, that is betrain often v'lokon. It's 2,000 prutos and a lakan. A lakan is a small coin which is worth 32 prutos, okay? So, the difference between a dinner in Jerusalem and a dinner in Arbel is 32 prutos. Okay, 2,032 prutos in Arbel for a dinner, 2,000 prutos for a dinner in Yerushalayim. Okay, now you have 250 dinarim. Okay, so you're doing a little math. So, suppose there's a person that has 250 dinarim. So, you multiply 250 times 2,032 in our bell. So, that's worth 508,000. If you multiply 250 times 2,000 in Yerushalayim, that's equal to 500,000. A difference of 8,000. Okay, so we've got a difference of 8,000 on the conversion between Jerusalem and Arbel. Okay? Is that clear? So you've got an 8,000 pruto difference. It's more expensive. I should say, it's not more expensive. You'll get more prutos. It's not more expensive. It's more expensive. One second, is it more expensive? If you get more, I don't know how to view it. If you get more prutos, does that mean it's more expensive? It means it's worth... It means it's worth more, no?
Yeah, so
it means it's worth more. The dinar is worth more pruto-wise in our bell than it is in Yerushalayim. What? For whatever reason. I don't know what
you're
the reason
benefiting
is.
Benefiting from this mitzvah.
So one second. You're way ahead of me. I'm just trying to understand the case here. I'm just getting the math. Well, what mitzvah? We haven't talked about a mitzvah yet. V'hu boy miten chamshin ribo umisok. Someone's interested in purchasing the 250 dinarim. He wants to give the owner 500,000 prutos to redeem the coins in Arbel, plus accepting responsibility for bringing up the prutos to Yerushalayim prior to the redemption. He wants to the halacha is that the buyer can give the owner here in Yerushalayim, 2,000 prutos in addition to the 500,000 prutos that would normally be required for the redemption of such coins in Jerusalem. So where are they located? They're located in Yerushalayim? That seems to be the case, right? It says here, we started off an environment in which a dinner can be exchanged here in Jerusalem, right? And someone wishes to purchase and give the owner 500,000 to redeem the coins, which are located in Arbel. Okay, so the coins are in Arbel, but you are in Yerushalayim. Am I saying that right? Let's see one second.
So if I was paid on the price of the value.
Let's look at 14, okay? We learned above, you're generally not allowed to convert dinarim into copper outside of Yerushalayim, right? In the present example, the owner of the 250 dinarim in Arbel has two options. He can either take the coins to Jerusalem and convert them into prutos over there, or leave them in Arbel and find someone who's willing to give him in their stead a supply of prutos in Jerusalem. In other words, I can either take it up myself, or I can sell them to a buyer in Jerusalem. You'll get the coins when you go back to Arbel. My coins are in Arbel. Let's start it again, okay? I've got my dinarim in Arbel. I've got 250 dinar. It's worth 508,000 here in Arbel. It's worth 500,000 in Jerusalem. I have a choice to convert. I can't convert them into copper here. That's usur. So I have a choice. I can take the dinar myself, the 250 dinar, take them with me to Jerusalem, or I'll leave them here in my vault. Right? They're in the vault. I'll travel to Jerusalem and get you, sucker, to pay me for, you'll pay me the prutos for those dinarim in Jerusalem. How much will you pay me? So that's what we're trying to say. We're trying to establish here how much you can profit had you brought the 250 dinarim to Jerusalem and converted them. You would have just gotten 500,000, and that's it, because that's the going price there. You're going to profit now. How are you going to profit? Because you as the buyer are saying to yourself, look, I'm going to make a deal here. I'll give him 502,000 prutos. You'll make 2,000 prutos. I'll make 6,000 prutos, because when I go back to Arbel, I'll get the dinarim, convert them there to a copper, and I've made 6,000 prutos over what I would have gotten here locally. So we all win. So that's the idea here. But that is limited. In other words, 2,000 is one quarter of 8,000. Remember, the difference was 8,000, right? 508 in Arbel, 500,000 in Jerusalem. The owner can profit one quarter of the difference between what they were worth in the other location. That's what it's saying over here. Now I got it.
That's a svara.
What?
That's a svara.
It's a svara? I mean, it's this Bryce says it as like a, where did it come from? I don't know where this came from. It just says, Mistaku Adam ad shekel.
But we don't know what that shekel means.
The shekel must mean, and someone else said, Mistaku Adam ad revius, until a quarter. So in other words, whatever it was, it meant a quarter. Quarter, whatever.
Shekel and quarter are the same?
They must be the same thing. Well, the shekel must have been. I didn't look to
so
see.
There's two transactions going on. One is the pure Meisheshenia transaction. The other is a business transaction.
That's correct. I forgot to speak that out. The 2,000 are cooling. Right. That's
why,
profit.
Why is he limited to a quarter? Why can't he say, if he's a good bargainer, why can't he take
get half?
Why can't he take half?
Right.
If it's a business transaction, it's not my machine.
Right, right, right. It's not proper to be making business with my Shani. You have to be careful with it. Yeah.
It's okay to sell the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. And what you just said is 15. Did you see 15?
No, I didn't see 15.
Go to 15. Okay. In essence, the transaction contains two distinct components. The actual redemption of the Meister Shani coins located in our bell, and the additional monetary arrangement between the seller and the buyer, as far as redemption is concerned, giving 500,000 putas would be sufficient. That's the value of 250 norm here locally. Okay, blah, 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 blah. The additional sum of 2,000 prutos represents the seller's personal profit, which is calculated by figuring the coin's additional value in our bell, then subtracting 75%. 75% is compensation for the buyer for making the prutas available to me in Jerusalem. So this is like kind of like a supplier fee. You're supplying me with prutas that I need, and you're making a little profit over here.
So it doesn't really answer my question, except you answered it. You said that I'm limited to what I can make on so, even though it's a different transaction, I'm limited on what I can make out of it.
Yes.
The Rambam doesn't bring in La Halacha because you can't do Schoru and Maisa Sheni.
Now that is the problem. That is the basic problem with the whole sugya. How can he, what's the heter for doing this? You're not allowed to. So he says that it could be that the Mishnah, the first beginning of the Masechta, which said you can't do business, it held Maaser Sheni's Mamon Gavoya. So therefore you can't make profit with it. Whereas this Brisa might hold its Mamon Heget, and therefore you could make profit. And as far as the Rambam is concerned, whatever it says. It says this is going to explain the Rambam. Whatever, I don't know what the Rambam says exactly. Okay, next. Let's go on. So we're up to Amud Beis. Amud Beis. That was hard. Tony. So then another Brisa. Ain Paideh Maaser Sheni L'Shem Sheni. That is to say, when I'm Paideh, I have to kind of like make believe. We're going to play a game. You and I both know this is Maaser Sheni. But we're going to make believe like it's not Maaser Sheni. We're going to make believe like this is a regular 7 mile market transaction. We're just taking food.
What we're about to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's saying in essence. El L'Shem Chulin, number two. You should not say, okay, 1 second. You should not say, let me just say you should not say, and then we'll say why in a second. You should not say what is the value of this Maaser Sheni produce. Because you're speaking out that it's Maaser Sheni. That's a bazillion to Maaser Sheni. Because you're making a transaction out of Maaser Sheni. Because publicizing the redemption would be degrading it to it. Rather, he should act as if he's dealing with ordinary chulin produce. Okay? Now,
the Hebrew doesn't have that milah. He's just saying that it's chulin because chulin is worth more than Maaser Sheni.
Now, he speaks that out also. He says that it could be that the bezoyan of it was, it was going to be, because people, even though, because the fact of the matter is, when you're going to get that Maaser Sheni produce and give me the money,
right,
it loses its Maaser Sheni kedusha altogether. It goes on to the money. So there's no reason to pay less for Maaser Sheni than to pay for chulin. None whatsoever. You don't have to take it to Yerushalayim. It's de-consecrated as soon as you have the transaction. But nonetheless, that's the nature of people's psychology. That they, oh, this is Maaser Sheni, I'm going to pay less. I don't know. And therefore, that's the idea, that you would do it in a way in which we're making believe like it's regular produce.
But the money has to be spent for sure.
The money is going to for sure be spent in Yerushalayim, absolutely.
So maybe I don't want to give so much because it's a tirchah.
No. You're giving it to me. I've got the produce. I'm the one that has to have the tirchah. You don't need to worry about the tirchah. Yeah. Okay. The Ravid and the textual interpreter says like this. He rejects the notion that the reason you can't disclose he's redeeming Maaser Sheni is to avoid degrading it. He argues the redemption of Maaser Sheni is explicit in the Pasuk. How can you say that redeeming Maaser Sheni is degrading? The Pasuk says you can redeem it. So what's going on over here? So therefore the Ravid says, well, I think this is what you said, Dov, right? If the Ravid speaks out, it's because you may pay less money. Okay, let's go on. Reb Shaul Boi, he asked the following question. What if everybody knows that it's Cheney? You know it's Cheney, I know it's Cheney, so why are we going to still play games? So where it says, I feel okay. Even so, we should still do it because that's the nature of the game. Exactly what the reason is. Hello, plug, is that the reason?
That's what he says.
Low plug. Okay, low plug. Tony, any point in my sashini alumin min almina. Now here we're talking about a very interesting thing. I mentioned this in my introductory remarks to the Masechta, which I'm sure you all listened to, which I recorded when I was, I think, in Killeen, Texas. But if you didn't listen to it, because I wasn't unaware of this, it was in the introductory remarks of the Yad Avraham Mishnayos. that you, the Rambam says explicitly that you can convert not only Maaser Sheni into coins, but you can convert it into other fruit, peiros. You can, I've got wheat. I can go ahead and convert Maaser Sheni wheat onto other Maaser Sheni wheat, right? For whatever reason, maybe it's more durable. I'm not sure exactly why. What my thinking is to do it that way, but it could be done.
I could sell it for a higher amount.
It could be done. Bottom line is, it could be done. That's what the Rambam says. The Ravid, by the way, is chaylik on the Rambam, but let's just leave the Ravid aside for now. But the Rambam says you can, and therefore that's the Gemara is calling over here. Tony, ain point of Maaser Sheni al min al mino. When you're put on other fruit, it has to be, or the produce, it has to be the same produce. Can't do barley on wheat. The law came, my non gummina. If it wouldn't be for the Bryce that taught us this, what would I have said? Otherwise, poyden minachitim ala sa'irim, would you say you can be put a wheat onto barley? Umin ha'sa'irim ala chitim, would you say you could do barley into wheat? Obviously not, it says here in the Gemara.
What's obvious?
That's what it says in the bottom. This is the weirdest front. It's unclear why the Gemara considers it obvious that it cannot be deconsecrated on an Ein Amino. This is like, I love this. This is like the Gemara says, of course not, and then the footnote says, we don't understand why not. But whatever it is, you know, that's what it says. I'm not sure. Okay, I'm just going by there because I don't have an answer to this. L'chein tzricha. So the Gemara says, this is why I need a brisa to tell me this halacha. Afilu min ha'igru al hashamtes, even from white wheat onto red wheat, right? Umin hashamtes al ha'igru, from red wheat onto white wheat. That means you cannot go that way, even though they're both the same species, but they're different. The word he uses is variety. So not only does it have to be the same species, it has to be the same variety of that species in order for it to be considered min al mino. Now, that was not the case in other halachas that we have seen. So it's a little funny. When it came to, for instance, taking miser, that you take miser min al mino, you're not allowed to do min al she'en mino. That is not the case. Varieties do not make a difference. Amar Rav Chananya, Rabbi, how you look at Kishuan by Kuros Lamalchus. What would Rabbi do? He would buy early ripening cucumbers as a gift for the throne. We know that Rabbi had connections with Malchus over there, right? It says over here. Does he bring it over here? I thought I just saw it. Yeah, it says over here. Rebbe tied the cucumbers before giving them to Antoninus. Okay? Anyway, so Kaveya Maaser Sheni Shulchan Aruch called Ukitz V'Ukitz. He would designate the Maaser Sheni for every one of them upon the part near each one's stem. So now, figure out, does that make any sense? What do you mean? Right? You have to specify which part of the food you're designating as Maaser Sheni. What do you accomplish when you make near the stem? I say, okay, so you picture. I mean, those of you who grow cucumbers know what a stem of a cucumber is. If you've never seen it grow, then you know there's a stem. There's a stem in the supermarket. You may not see the stem, but there is actually a stem holding the cucumber to the like vine-like substance. Anyway, whatever it is. So if you're gonna make the Maaser Sheni near the stem, that means you're going to have to cut that part off of the cucumber and then sell that one little piece of cut cucumber next to the stem in the market. Imagine what that does to the value. That destroys the whole value of the Maaser Sheni.
And you're allowed to do that.
And he's allowed to do that. That's an unbelievable thing, right? Maaser Sheni Shalom, I'll call Oikets for Oikets. So when Rebbe subsequently redeemed this Maaser Sheni, he would assess them as if they're actually cut. So he evaluated the portions that he had designated Maaser Sheni as though they were physically detached. This resulted in relatively low valuation for Maaser Sheni, right? So that's the point of the Gemara. So what's the point? What is the point over here? What is the point?
He's allowed to...
So the Gemara is discussing how one determines the redemption price of Maaser Sheni when only part of the fruit is sanctified. That's what we're discussing.
Yeah, nothing to do with the
Gemara before. Okay. So this is Tom. So Rabbi Yochanan Boy, so Rabbi Yochanan had an objection to this practice. Shleimos, the reality of the cucumbers are whole. Va'at amras katuchos, you say as if they're cut. In other words, they're physically whole, but you're going to assess them as if they were cut? That doesn't make any sense. The cucumbers must be evaluated in their entirety, and then based on the percentage of the cucumber, in other words, one-tenth, right? It's a Maaser Sheni. So you got one-tenth of the value of a whole cucumber. You don't look at it as if it was cut and evaluate how much a cut cucumber would be. That's not how you do it. That's what you're going to do. I'm going to this argument of Yochanan is a good argument. If you had two people who were shutfim in one cucumber, welcome, I had one portion, and you owe nine portions. Could the one who owns nine parts dissolve the partnership and say, let's divide the cucumber, you take your share, I'll take my share? Obviously not, right? The other guy would end up having nothing left. Rather, you keep it whole. And by that, it becomes a more expensive price, obviously, rather than cutting it. And here too, when you do, by keeping the cucumber whole, you don't look at it as if it's cut, like Rebbe wanted to do, and that would be the preferable way. So this is contrary to the opinion of Rebbe, right? 16. Rebbe evidently discounted the comparison between standard partnerships and cases involving produce that was partially designated for the following reasons. One of the following reasons, A, B, and C, he has over here. Let's see. I haven't read this. A, partners obligate themselves from the outset through an unspoken agreement that neither will be able to force a division that could adversely affect the value of the object. But when Maaser Sheni, there's no such provision. B, Maaser Sheni is ideally supposed to be taken to Jerusalem, since it stands to be separated, its redemption price may be assessed according to the value of cut produce. What does that mean? Since Maaser Sheni portion of the produce stands to be separated. In other words, you're ultimately going to take the Maaser Sheni to Jerusalem anyway, so it's going to be cut. C, perhaps this too falls within the purview of our Mishnah's ruling that Maaser Sheni may be redeemed according to the inexpensive rate. So for whatever reason, one of these three reasons, that's what Rebbe held. Okay. That'll be it for tonight. Looks like there's an additional supporting incident, but I guess we'll do that tomorrow. Yeah, it's really a part of it. Okay. Well, we're losing our rhythm, so. You know, you have.